Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 27, 2019. Switch to a new threshold of sensitivity. What kind of dissent should we expect after the major convention we held in Europe? Dissents can be very easy and calm because we are already accustomed to them and do not worry about the fog and confusion in the head. The Creator does not give us dissents that knock us out, the dissents become more qualitative, more professional. It is like a professional artist while assessing a picture can take into account the smallest details and strokes, and an average person sees only a simple plot. This is the essence of professionalism. And it is the same with us in relation to dissents. Although sometimes we will receive huge dissents that stun and paralyze us, depriving us of sight and hearing, most of the time now there will not be such rough dissents as before. Instead, they will be subtle, where we will have to notice that we do not have the former yearning and adhesion with the Creator and sensitive attitude toward the friends in the ten. All the senses are slightly dulled. Thus, we are given the opportunity to increase our sensitivity. It is as if the receptivity were transferred to a new range and we need to tune into it. An ordinary person will not even notice anything unusual here, but a specialist will distinguish many changes. We have to be very attentive because it is possible that the current state will seem normal with respect to past dissents and hardenings of the heart, as if there is no dissent and heaviness. But am I connected with the ten? I do not feel it, that means dissent. Do I think about adhering to the Creator or do I think about nothing at all? Such a fog in my mind means dissent. My sensitivity was shifted to a new range, increased tenfold. Now I have to recognize big ascents and dissents by the very subtle discernments. It is no longer a decline in mood or complete dullness as before. It seems as if I have a normal mood and the ability to think, unlike before when I saw everything painted black and could not gather my thoughts. Yet now, in this new desire and mind, I must decide that I am not adhered to the Creator, that is, I must increase the threshold of sensitivity of feeling and mind within me in order to work with more subtle discernments. This must be done forcibly through prayer and request. I will then really rise to a new level. After all, I want to take into account details that I never noticed before when I thought everything was in order. But it is not the case if I have no adhesion with, no thoughts about, the Creator and the Ten, no proper sharpness of feeling. My senses were dulled and I feel okay about it, when the bad thing in this state is my non-adherence to the Creator in feeling and thoughts. This is what I must demand and ask. Then I will begin to distinguish darkness and dissent through more subtle discernments. The Creator will be saying, "Take it, do not worry, everything is in order." But I disagree to take it and leave. I demand from Him to be closer to Him, therefore, I feel much greater darkness than before. The hardening of the heart does not mean that I feel heaviness, darkness, and total lack of understanding in the mind and heart. It can be expressed in the most imperceptible things. I simply do not receive the yearning from above and must sharpen my mind and feelings by myself and find the point of connection to the Creator. The fact that I am not given such a connection and have to ask for it, demand it, and win it by force is already considered the hardening of the heart. Previously, I used to be in such darkness when I could not get out of bed or did not hear what I was told and did not understand the words. Today, I do not have that, I understand what it is about and I can feel. Yet, I do not have a strong yearning for adhesion with the Creator, the former aspiration, and this is darkness for me. The feelings and the mind work, but the yearning, the desire, disappeared, and that is the darkness. I begin to define the concept of darkness in higher parameters. I measure darkness not by how much I have not received from the Creator, but to what extent I do not yearn for Him. I only care about that and not about how much I receive from Him. That is unimportant to me because I do not want to receive, I want to bestow, to yearn. This means a new threshold of sensitivity in the work of the Creator, in the attitude toward Him. I want my mind and heart to work only for the sake of bringing contentment to the Creator. I do not care what I have in my kelim, vessels, but only about what I can give to Him from them. Previously, I considered the loss of desire or understanding to be a hardening of the heart. Now this isn't there, everything seems to be in order. So, do I have the hardening of the heart or not? It is said that every moment there is a descent if we are able to see it, because new kelim are constantly revealed. Now I can feel good, but do I have yearning for the Creator, a desire to bestow to Him through the group, to love Him? If not, then it is called hardening of the heart. This is a new type of hardening of the heart, which was not there previously. I did not even pay attention to such little things before, but now I am required to do just that. That is, the ascents and descents are now evaluated in relation to the longing desire, yearning, and bestowal to the Creator. With regard to that, I now have to examine myself whether I am in an ascent or descent, not by what I feel in my kelim, but by my feelings toward the Creator. I suddenly discover that I have none of the former desire and motivation. Previously, I was pushed by the fact that I lacked fulfillment, and now my motivation should be that the Creator lacks. How can I find such desires and needs to reach out to Him within myself, to yearn to bestow and love at a time when I feel no need for it? The solution is to connect with the Ten and through it raise a prayer to the Creator. The Creator used to awaken the darkness, and now I must awaken the pre-dawn darkness myself. It is much harder. I myself must take care of my kli, my desire, for the Creator. I used to turn to Him because I felt bad, and now that I do not feel bad at all, how am I going to turn to Him? Here is the place for yearning, prayer, and action. This is a more complicated situation, a qualitatively new degree. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, November 12, 2019, Hardening of the Heart, Invitation to Ascend. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what reasons do people give for hating Jews? There are all kinds of stated reasons for hating Jews, whether it be holding too much power in countries where they assimilated into, ruling the whole world, being greedy, envy of our disproportionate success in the world compared to other nations, oppressing Palestine as a Jewish state, the fall of Germany in World War I, the assassination of Tsar Alexander II in 19th century Russia, drinking children's blood in the Middle Ages, denying Muhammad's prophethood and murdering Jesus Christ. More fundamentally, however, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the reasons many people give for Jew hatred are preceded by the sensation of hatred in and of itself. As Kabbalist Rav Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, writes in his article The Solution, it is a fact that Israel is hated by all nations, whether for religious reasons, racial reasons, capitalist reasons, communist reasons, or for cosmopolitan reasons, etc. It is so because the hatred precedes all reasons, but each merely resolves its loathing according to its own psychology. In other words, hatred of Jews doesn't depend on the many varied actions and behaviors of the Jewish people. Hatred of Jews is rather a sensation embedded in nature that emerges within people. How does the sensation of Jew hatred surface? In order to answer this, we need to understand the foundation of the Jewish people, the Jewish role in the world, and how non-Jews respond in relation to whether or not Jews are performing this role. The foundation of the Jewish people. The Jewish people emerged in ancient Babylon some 4,000 years ago. It was a time when Babylon was experiencing a crisis of social division, with conflicts and hatred tearing up the ancient Babylonian society. During this period, Abraham, a Babylonian priest who discovered the path to unite above the growing divisions, that is reaching the revelation of the single force of love and bestowal that exists in reality above the growing ego, began openly teaching his method to anyone who wanted to learn. Since social division was felt as a burning problem, many people flocked to learn with Abraham. He guided them to the discovery of the single force of love and bestowal above their divisive drives. The group he led became known as the People of Israel, that is, Israel coming from Yasharakel, which means straight to God, that is straight to the single force of love and bestowal that exists in reality, and later they became known as Jews. The Hebrew word for Jew, Yehudi, comes from the word for united, Yehudi, Yaradevash, part 2, Drush number 2. Therefore, the Jewish nation was founded not on a biological basis, but on an ideological one. People from all over ancient Babylon who felt a problem with social division and a need for unity gathered under Abraham's method and united above their divisive drives. By doing so, they became known as a light unto the nations, as the attainment of the one, unique and unified force of nature above the human ego, which causes all the divisiveness and problems in society, has a positive domino effect that upgrades human consciousness. It leads to more positive connections, more consideration, support, love and care, among humanity in general. The Jewish role in the world. As it was then, so it is today, but on a much larger, global scale. The overblown human ego, social division, conflicts and hatred are all experiencing an exponential boost, bringing about myriad problems and crises. For instance, despite more human population than ever before on the planet, and all the technological and cross-cultural connections that have been established worldwide, human society feels more and more isolation, stress, depression, emptiness and anxiety. The more people feel such problems, the more people subconsciously feel that the Jews are the cause of these problems. That is where the sensation of Jew hatred comes from. That the Jews have a role in the world, to unite, love your friend as yourself, above division, love will cover all transgressions, and by doing so, be a conduit for the single unifying force of love and bestowal to spread throughout the collective human consciousness, a light unto the nations. The response to the Jews from the nations of the world in relation to the Jewish role. If we function correctly in relation to our role in the world, uniting among each other in order to pass unity to the world, then we will experience a positive reaction from everyone in the world. If, however, as it currently stands, we fail to acknowledge or make any effort to unite among each other, we then block the positive unifying force from reaching humanity, and hatred stirs up in non-Jews toward the Jews as a natural phenomenon that serves to pressure us to perform our role. It is thus my hope that we will realize our role in the world sooner rather than later, sparing the world and ourselves much suffering. We simply don't see what it would mean if we make some steps toward uniting, how much all the tension in human society and between nations would calm down, how all the exploitation, manipulation, hatred and abuse in humanity would be replaced by mutual support, consideration, love and care for our fellow human beings. This is why I put in so many efforts to disseminate the message about the role of Jews in the world, and the cause and solution to anti-Semitism, since humanity's future of happiness or torment depends specifically on this. Family and Marriage, Part 3. What will help save marriage? Question. Today, the institution of marriage cannot be held together by urges, therefore it is necessary to look for additional goals. What are these goals to sustain a marriage? Answer: in our time, the religious consecration of marriage cannot hold a family. Not only in a small society, but practically all over the world. Young people do not care what will be thought of them here or there. As a rule, they are not dependent on their parents, do not live with them, are not in the same society where they themselves were born and raised. In general, young couples are independent of the previous generation and the society in which they were brought up. They break away completely and create a family on a whole new level. Between them, completely different necessary connections appear. And if there are no such connections, then, as we see, marriage does not exist. Question. What goals can sustain marriage in the future? Answer, at least not common children and common property, but something that stands above this. It can only be a goal that is higher than life. I need this person as a husband or wife, with children and with all my way of life, because with them I gain the necessary space within which I prepare myself for a higher purpose. There will be no family without this. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 1st of January 2019. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, the 18th of August 2019. Question: if we do not succeed in ascending to the world of Ein Sof, infinity, what awaits us? Answer: don't be worried that they will take you by the ear and lift you up. Are you ready to manage anything by yourself? You are certainly not. Question: when a person develops spiritually, how many incarnations does it take before one reaches one's full correction? Answer: you can do this in one incarnation, here and now. If you were given contact with the means for ascension, then all the rest depends on you. Question: when bad properties are discovered, how can one avoid doing bad things? How can I hold on to myself? Answer: it depends on the environment. If you find yourself in the right environment, you will be unable to do anything bad. Question: is it possible to correct everything on the level of thoughts? Answer: it is precisely on the level of thoughts that it is necessary to correct everything. Question: after we cross the Muxum barrier, will there be a next incarnation of the soul? Or do I not have to return and can advance further and ascend only in the spiritual world? Answer: you will be able to advance even without returning to your physical body. Question: you are saying that it is necessary to correct everything on the level of thought. How can we do this if we ourselves do not control anything? What is it that depends on us? Answer: we do not control anything, including our thoughts. We can only ask for the upper light to come and correct our thoughts. Question: do traumas and experiences in our lives act as corrections that will bring us to a state of bestowal? Answer: they do not. It is unnecessary to think that traumas and experiences correct anything. They only push us toward correction. Correction lies in good connection in the group, where you build a place for mutual kindness and mutual participation where the Creator can be discovered. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 18th of August 2019.